Now you have a friend in the jewelry business.
It's 7:03 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. Good evening. I'm Dan Jessup with a recap of President Obama's speech from the Oval Office this past hour that you heard live here on KSL News Radio. The president this evening with an address to the nation. Mr. Obama first describing the San Bernardino terror attacks.
On Wednesday, 14 Americans were killed as they came together to celebrate the holidays. They were taken from family and friends who loved them deeply. They were white and black, Latino and Asian, immigrants and American-born, moms and dads, daughters and sons. Each of them served their fellow citizens, and all of them were part of our American family.
He then went to present an overview of what the government is doing and is going to do to combat the threat of terrorism at home and around the world. The president attempting to reassure the American people that despite the recent terror attacks, his administration is doing everything in its power to defeat the threat.
As a father to two young daughters who are the most precious part of my life, I know that we see ourselves with friends and coworkers at a holiday party like the one in San Bernardino. I know we see our kids in the faces of the young people killed in Paris. And I know that after so much war, many Americans are asking whether we are confronted by a cancer that has no immediate cure.
The president said the terrorist threat has evolved into a new phase as we become better at preventing complex, multifaceted attacks like 9/11. Terrorists have turned to less complicated acts of violence like mass shootings. He's urged Congress to vote in support of military action.
For over a year, I have ordered our military to take thousands of airstrikes against ISIL targets. I think it's time for Congress to vote to demonstrate that the American people are united and committed to this fight.
Mr. Obama says the U.S. is working with allies such as Britain and Germany, who have begun bombing targets in Syria. The U.S. has increased its bombing of the ISIS oil infrastructure. He says the U.S. has recently added special operations forces in both Iraq and Syria, but continues to reject placing regular troops on the ground. He indicates the U.S. is working with allies to cut off the group's financing and will continue to enhance intelligence gathering and sharing. Still, political opponents are saying the president tried to reassure the American people without announcing any major changes in policy toward ISIS. Coming up on KSL News Radio, your traffic and weather together. KSL News Time, 7:06.
Breezing through traffic is the only way to get to work.
We're seeing a ton of traffic just heading west on I-80.
It's triple team traffic, and it gets you there faster with KSL News Radio.
Does holiday shopping in stores increase your risk of identity theft? Yes. Shopping puts personal information out there, and big retailers have been breached. Does shopping online increase risk? Yes. Online shopping leaves a trail of personal information behind. Does giving fruitcake as a gift increase risk? No. It's not very original, and the fruitcake may never get eaten, but it won't increase risk. Holiday shopping and using Wi-Fi over an eggnog latte at the coffee shop will. That's why LifeLock does more than free credit monitoring services to protect you from identity theft. We have proprietary technology to detect a range of threats. And if you have an identity problem, we have a U.S.-based team of specialists who work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at every business. But with LifeLock, you can shop till you drop and feel better protected. Even if you do buy the fruitcake again. Right now, enjoy 10% off your membership as our gift to you. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code AWARE.
Planning your weekend is one thing. Knowing is another.
Scattered rain showers, could be a few thunderstorms in the mix.
A 7-day forecast at 20 and 50. Mornings and afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by your Utah Toyota dealers. The roads look good tonight. Just be careful out there as you make your way home from your weekend's activities. A gorgeous day on the way for tomorrow. 49 the forecast high, 52 Tuesday. Next shot at showers late Thursday and into Friday and Saturday. 25 forecast at night. Downtown 42. It's 7:07. You get the top stories every 30 minutes. Breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Hi, I'm Dan. Dini Wimmer, and this is Read Today. Each Sunday night, as your family is winding down your time together, KSL offers several stories that will delight, instruct, and yes, entertain your kids. So sit down with your preschoolers and elementary school children and listen together. We hope it encourages you to read today with KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good evening and welcome to Read Today on KSL News Radio. Let's get into our first adventure. It's a classic tale, and it's read by KSL 5 news specialist Sandra Yee. Here's the Frog Prince.
One fine evening, a young princess put on her bonnet and clogs and went out to take a walk by herself in a wood. And when she came to a cool spring of water that rose in the midst of it, she sat herself down to rest a while. Now, she had a golden ball in her hand, which was her favorite plaything. She was always tossing it up into the air and catching it up as it fell. After a time, she threw it up so high that she missed catching it as it fell, and the ball bounced away and rolled along upon the ground till at last it fell down into the spring. The princess looked into the spring after her ball, but it was very deep, so deep that she could not see the bottom of it. Then she began to bewail her loss and said, "Alas, if I could only get my ball again, I would give all my fine clothes and jewels and everything that I have in the world." While she was speaking, a frog put its head out of the water and said, "Princess, why do you weep so bitterly?" "Alas," said she, "what can you do for me, you nasty frog? My golden ball has fallen into the spring." The frog said, "I want not your pearls and jewels and fine clothes, but if you will love me and let me live with you and eat from off your golden plate and sleep upon your bed, I will bring you your ball again." "What nonsense," thought the princess. "This silly frog is talking. He can never even get out of the spring to visit me, though he may be able to get my ball for me, and therefore I will tell him he shall have what he asks." So she said to the frog, "Well, if you bring me my ball, I will do all you ask." Then the frog put his head down and dived deep under the water, and after a little while he came up again with the ball in his mouth and threw it on the edge of the spring. As soon as the young princess saw her ball, she ran to pick it up, and she was so overjoyed to have it in her hand again that she never thought of the frog, but ran home with it as fast as she could. The frog called after her, "Stay, princess, and take me with you, as you said." But she did not stop to hear a word. The next day, just as the princess had sat down to dinner, she heard a strange noise, tap, tap, splash, splash, as if something was coming up the marble staircase. And soon afterwards, there was a gentle knock at the door, and a little voice cried out and said, "Open the door, my princess dear. Open the door to thy true love here, and mind the words that thou and I said by the fountain cool in the greenwood shade." Then the princess ran to the door and opened it, and there she saw the frog, whom she had quite forgotten. At this sight, she was sadly frightened, and shutting the door as fast as she could, came back to her seat. The king, her father, seeing that something had frightened her, asked her what was the matter. "There's a nasty frog," said she, "at the door that lifted my ball for me out of the spring this morning. I told him that he should live with me here, thinking that he could never get out of that spring. But there he is at the door, and he wants to come in." While she was speaking, the frog knocked again at the door and said, "Open the door, my princess dear. Open the door to thy true love here, and mind the words that thou and I said by the fountain cool in the greenwood shade." Then the king said to the young princess, "As you have given your word, you must keep it. So go and let him in." She did so, and the frog hopped into the room and then straight on. Tap, tap, splash, splash, from the bottom of the room to the top, till he came up close to the table where the princess sat. "Pray lift me upon chair," said he to the princess, "and let me sit next to you." As soon as she had done this, the frog said, "Put your plate nearer to me, that I may eat out of it." This she did, and when he had eaten as much as he could, he said, "Now I'm very tired. Carry me upstairs and put me into your bed." And the princess, though very unwilling, took him up in her hand and put him upon the pillow of her own bed, where he slept all night long. As soon as it was light, he jumped, hopped downstairs, and went out of the house. "Now then," thought the princess, "at last he's gone, and I shall be troubled with him no more." But she was mistaken, for when night came again, she heard the same tapping at the door, and the frog came once more and said, "Open the door, my princess dear. Open the door to thy true love here, and mind the words that thou and I said by the fountain cool in the greenwood shade." And when the princess opened the door, the frog came in and slept upon her pillow as before till the morning broke. And the third night he did the same. But when the princess awoke on the following morning, she was astonished to see, instead of the frog, a handsome prince gazing on her with the most beautiful eyes she had ever seen and standing at the head of her bed. He told her that he had been enchanted by a spiteful fairy who had changed him into a frog, and that he had been fated so to abide till some princess should take him out of the spring and let him eat from her plate and sleep upon her bed for 3 nights. "You," said the prince, "have broken his cruel charm, and now have nothing to wish for but that you should go with me into my father's kingdom, where I will marry you and love you as long as you live." The young princess, you may be sure, was not long in saying yes to all this, and as they spoke, a gay coach drove up with 8 beautiful horses decked with plumes of feathers and a golden harness, and behind the coach rode the prince's servant, faithful Heinrich, who had bewailed the misfortunes of his dear master during his enchantment so long and so bitterly that his heart had well nigh burst. They then took a leave of the king and got into the coach with 8 horses and all set out, full of joy and merriment, for the prince's kingdom, which they reached safely, and there they lived happily a great many years.
You're listening to Read Today on KSL. Short stories for the whole family read by the talk stars and personalities of KSL News Radio and KSL TV 5. From KSL News Radio's Afternoon News, co-host Scott Seeger.
A music lesson. One day while walking through the forest, LB Bear saw a sign, "Forest Band Tryouts Next Week." "Wow, a band! I would love to be in a band," thought LB. LB had never played an instrument before, but he was willing to try. He had seen concerts in the forest before and really admired the animals who could sing and play instruments. He hurried home to tell his parents of the tryouts. LB's mom was cooking dinner. Dad was sitting in his favorite chair reading the newspaper when LB rushed in with the news. "Mom, Dad, guess what? I'm going to be in a band." Well, his parents were stunned since they knew the little cub did not know the first thing about a musical instrument. LB's mom just hesitated for a second and then said, "Well, that's great, dear. What will you play?" She did not want to disappoint the cub, so she tried to be encouraging. "I'm going to play the harmonica," he replied. "I just know I can do that. I know I can." He then ran to his room to practice, and he practiced every day for the next week until the tryouts. He woke up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on the day of the tryouts and ran to the forest, only to see all of his friends were there. Sammy the squirrel was there with his guitar, Robbie the rabbit with his drum set, and everyone was practicing until their name was called. Finally, they got to LB, and he was nervous, but he went in and did his very best. When he was finished, he was told he was just not quite good enough for the band. The judges were sorry, but he could not be in the band. LB was heartbroken, especially since all of the other animals were chosen for the band and he wasn't. With his head down, he headed home, trying not to cry. He was almost home when he heard his name being called. "Wait, LB, wait, I have to talk to you," said one of the judges, running toward him. LB could not imagine what was going on since he was already told he could not join his friends in the band. "LB, we need a manager for the band. Can you do that?" LB stood for a second and then replied, "Well, I don't know how to be a band manager. What if I mess up?" "Well, you won't know until you try. And anyway, all of your friends want you to be part of the band. So will you do it?" Just at that time, all of the animals joined LB. "Please do it," they all shouted. "Come on, LB, you can do it," said Sammy the squirrel. "Okay, I'll do it. Thanks, guys." Everybody won that day. The other animals would be in the band, and LB would be their manager. It just goes to show that if you don't find success in one area, have patience, and you will find it in another.
Thank you, Scott Seeger. Be sure and track your child's reading minutes for prizes on readtoday.com. Don't go anywhere. We've got more great stories just around the corner on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM. 1160 a.m.
A holiday party turns tragic in San Bernardino, California.
If it was terrorism here, the FBI and police don't know yet.
A stash of weapons, ammunition, and bomb-making equipment found in the suspect's home.
His accomplice being his wife, according to many reports.
A vigilant nation on high alert. This Christmas season, what we want more than anything is peace and the facts. Get breaking news as it happens. Accurate information, not speculation. On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 a.m.
The Larry H. Miller Family and Robert C. Bowden present the 31st Annual Christmas Carol Sing-Along, Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. at Vivint Smart Home Arena. Sing along to your holiday favorites, accompanied by a full 30-piece orchestra and special guest musical group, Joshua Creek. Admission is free for everyone, and guests will receive a special Larry H. Miller treat-filled gift package. It's the 31st Annual Christmas Carol Sing-Along, Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. Visit VivintArena.com for more information.
When was the last time you felt free? It's time to uncover that feeling again with the compassion of a cross and shield and the power of a card that opens doors to the best hospitals and medical centers in all 50 states, giving you the freedom to love, to dream, to dance like no one is watching. Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield. Live fearless.
Who do I perform for? I perform for all the awesome composers whose music deserves to be heard.
I perform for all the stagehands who make sure I never miss a cue.
I perform for our high school choir director who taught me to breathe from the diaphragm and sing from the heart.
Speech, debate, theater, music. The performing arts teach valuable life lessons that typically aren't taught in the classroom. They help high school students learn leadership skills that prepare them to enjoy more satisfying, productive lives.
I perform for Mrs. Evans, my high school debate coach, who has helped me become more confident than I ever dreamed possible.
This message presented by the Utah High School Activities Association and the high school in your community.
Hey, question for you. Who will you perform for?
Welcome back to Read Today on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM. Kids, be sure and track the minutes you read on a daily basis. You could win prizes. Log on to www.readtoday.com. And now, local storyteller Darren Adams.
One Saturday morning, Abby's mom came upstairs to see Abby in her bedroom. Or tried to. There was so much mess on the floor, she could only poke her head around the door. Abby sat in the middle of it all, reading a book. What a tip, Mom said. You need to have a clear-up in here. Why? Abby asked. Why? Mom repeated. Because things get broken or lost when they're all willy-nilly like this. Come on, have a tidy-up now. But I'm very busy, Abby argued, and it's boring on my own. Can't you help me? No, I can't. I'm busy, too. But I'll give you extra pocket money if you do a good job. When Mum came back later, all the toys and clothes and books had disappeared. I'm impressed, said Mum, but I'll inspect it properly later. It was easy, said Abby. Can I have my extra pocket money now? All right. Get it out of my change purse. It's in the kitchen tidy drawer. In the kitchen, Abby went over to the dresser and pulled open the tidy drawer. She hunted for the purse. Any luck? Mum asked. Abby shook her head. It must be lurking at the bottom, Mum said. Let's have a proper look. She pulled the drawer out and carried it over to the table. Abby kneeled up on a chair to look inside. There were lots of boring things like staplers and string, but there were lots of interesting things as well. What's this? Abby asked, holding up a plastic bottle full of red liquid. Mum laughed. Fake blood from a Halloween party years ago. Your dad and I took you to that, dressed up as a baby vampire. You were really scary. I don't remember that. Abby carried on, looking through the drawer. She found some vampire teeth, some white face paint, plastic witchy nails and hair gel. Mum pulled out a glittery hairband. It had springs with wobbly balls on the top that flashed disco colors. She put it on her head while she carried on looking through the drawer. Abby found some sparkly hair elastics to match her hairband. She made her mom put lots of little bunches all over her hair so she looked really silly. I remember this, Abby said as she pulled out a plastic bag. This is from my pirate party. Inside there was a black false mustache and some big gold earrings. She peeled the sticky backing off the false mustache and stuck it on Mom's top lip. Then she found a paintbrush in the drawer and painted a fierce red scar down her cheek using the fake blood. Mom clipped on the pirate earrings. Come here, Mom said, and smeared white face paint all over Abby's face. She dribbled the fake blood so it looked as if it were coming out of Abby's eyes and mouth. She put gel all over Abby's hair and made it stand up into weird, pointy shapes. Abby put in the vampire teeth and slipped on the witchy fingers. She made scary noises at Wow Wow the cat. He ignored her and carried on washing himself on the seat next to her.
"Wash a dish?"
Abby asked, holding up a flat, rubbery thing. It was hard to speak through the vampire teeth. "It's a whoopee cushion," Mom said. "You blow it up and sit on it. It makes rude noises." She blew it up and gave it to Abby. Suddenly, there was a knock at the back door. A voice called out, "Hello, it's only me. I've let myself in." It was their nosy neighbor, Mrs. Hyslop. She was always interfering and complaining. Mrs. Hyslop entered the kitchen. Her mouth dropped open.
"We're looking for the change purse," Abby explained.
Mrs. Hyslop said. "I just wanted a word with you about your fence. Some of it's blown down on my side." At that moment, Abby sat on the whoopee cushion and let out an enormous, rude noise. Wow Wow jumped off his seat and ran away. "Well," said Mrs. Hyslop and hurried from the room and out of the house. When the door banged shut, Abby and Mom burst out laughing until Mom's mustache hung on by a whisker and Abby's vampire teeth dropped out. Abby came to sit on Mom's knee. "It's fun doing this together," she said. "Maybe, but we still haven't found the change purse." They both looked at the enormous heap of things spread over the kitchen table. "Well, you know things will get lost or broken when they're all willy-nilly," Abby said. "You cheeky monkey," Mom laughed. "But what shall I do with it all?" "I know, it's easy," Abby said and began to scoop everything off the table into her arms. She dumped it all back in the kitchen drawer. Mom looked at her suspiciously. "Let's go inspect your bedroom, shall we?" Abby followed her upstairs and into her bedroom. Wow Wow was sitting in front of her fish tank, looking hungrily at the goldfish. He dashed under the bed when he saw Mom and Abby. Mom kneeled down and lifted the bed cover to get him out. Underneath were heaps of Abby's toys, books, tapes, clothes, and shoes, empty plastic cups and wrappers, and a half-eaten sandwich on a plate. "Abby, what's all this?" "It's my tidy drawer," Abby said. She wrapped her arms around her mom and gave her a kiss. "Let's sort this one out together now."
I'm Amy Iverson with The Browser, and this is Angels. Barefoot and dirty, the girl just sat and watched the people go by. She never tried to speak. She never said a word. Many people passed, but never did one person stop. Just so happens, the next day, I decided to go back to the park, curious if the little girl would still be there. Right in the very spot as she was yesterday, she sat perched on high with the saddest look in her eyes. Today, I was to make my own move and walk over to the little girl. As we all know, a park full of strange people is not a place for young children to play. As I began walking towards her, I could see the back of the little girl's dress indicated a deformity. I figured that was the reason the people just passed by and made no effort to help. As I got closer, the little girl slightly lowered her eyes to avoid my intense stare. I could see the shape of her back more clearly. It was grotesquely shaped in a humped-over form. I smiled to let her know it was okay. I was there to help, to talk. I sat down beside her and opened with a simple hello. The little girl acted shocked and stammered a hi after a long stare into my eyes. I smiled and she shyly smiled back. We talked till darkness fell and the park was completely empty. Everyone was gone and we were alone. I asked the girl why she was so sad. The little girl looked at me and with a sad face said, "Because I'm different." I immediately said, "That you are," and smiled. The girl acted even sadder. She said, "I know. Little girl," I said, "you remind me of an angel." She stood to her feet and said, "Really?" "Yes, ma'am. You're like a little guardian angel sent to watch over all those people walking by." She nodded her head yes and smiled. And with that, she spread her wings and said with a twinkle in her eye, "I am." I was speechless. Sure, I was seeing things. She said, "And since you thought of someone other than yourself, my job here is done." Immediately, I stood to my feet and said, "Wait, so why did no one stop to help an angel?" She looked at me and smiled. "You're the only one who could see me, and you believe it in your heart. And she was gone. And with that, my life was changed dramatically. So when you think you're all you have, remember there is an angel always watching over you. Pass this to everyone. Pass this to everyone that means anything at all to you, to let them know you're glad they care about you. Like the story says, we all need someone. Every one of your friends is an angel in their own.
Don't go anywhere. We've got more great stories on the way on Read Today at KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Visit KSLNewsRadio.com to win great prizes, like a new Pioneer receiver for your car, including $150 towards installation at Sound Warehouse. Upgrade your in-car listening with HD radio technology, now featuring KSL's emergency alerts. Or win tickets to the Odyssey Dance Theater's Redux Nutcracker. It's unlike any Nutcracker you've seen before. Instead of getting a Nutcracker, Clara gets an iPhone. It's all there, so be sure to enter daily at KSLNewsRadio.com.
When Anna was 16, she was in an accident that changed her life forever. The doctor was just going to start amputating parts of her foot. I just said, she's dancer. I can't do that.
The first time I talked to Anna's mom, she was saddened, she was scared, she was worried.
When Debbie from Select Health called, it was the message that I wasn't alone. She was my liaison. She got me extra help.
Select Health believes in values, and one of them is really going the extra mile.
The first time I watched her dance after the accident, the joy of being able to dance again was amazing and fulfilling and healing.
It all starts with one good choice, Select Health. Open enrollment starts November 1st. To learn more, call 1-800-538-5038. Visit us at selecthealth.org or at Harmon's, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m.
In the vast ocean, there was room for only one victor.
Brace yourselves!
This battle for destiny will have to wait until after it rains.
But Dad, we're winning!
Maybe we can storm the kitchen.
Children who spend time with their parents are less likely to drop out of school, abuse drugs or alcohol, and are more likely to finish college. So imagine what a little time can do for your family.
To the deli!
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
7:30 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. Good evening. I'm Dan Jessup. KSL's top national story this hour from ABC News. In President Obama's Oval Office address to the nation tonight, he called the San Bernardino massacre an act of terrorism, but the president said it appears the killers were self-radicalized.
So far, we have no evidence that the killers were directed by a terrorist organization overseas, or that they were part of a broader conspiracy here at home.
The Islamic State has praised the American attackers, but has not acknowledged any connection with the couple. The menorah that stands outside the Chabad Lubavitch Synagogue at 1100 East 1750 South in Salt Lake City went missing last night. It was found dumped nearby. Salt Lake City Police Lieutenant Mike Hatch says it was likely a prank.
We don't have anything to lead this to any type of hate crime, and the leaders of the synagogue don't feel that it's a hate crime as well. It appears to be just a random, insensitive vandalism type deal.
The menorah was returned and was not damaged. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints broke ground on a new temple in Lisbon, Portugal. Elder Patrick Kieran with the First Quorum of the 70 spoke at the event. This is the first temple in Portugal and the church's fifth in 2015. 22nd-ranked University of Utah will play the BYU Cougars in the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl December 19th. Those bowl pairings were announced today. The USU Aggies will play Akron at the famous Potato Bowl in Boise. Coming up on KSL News Radio, pretty nice to start your work week. We'll check the KSL weather forecast next. KSL News Time, 7:32.
Hi, I'm Amanda Dixon. We make it easy to find KSL almost anywhere. Stream us live at KSL.com and right on your phone with the KSL app and in your car, KSL News Radio.
I can't wait to tell you what's happening at the LDS Business College. We just received four Best of State awards. That's nearly a quarter of all the education awards. Now, wait till you hear this. A top U.S. recruiting firm partnered with three of America's best schools to provide better candidates for their Fortune 500 clients like American Express, Wells Fargo, and AT&T. And guess which three schools they selected? LDS Business College, Cornell, and Harvard. So why is everyone paying so much attention to the BC? Because we focus on teaching skills that lead directly to a career. If there's no job at the end, we don't teach it. It's that simple. If you are looking for a career in just 2 years, while deepening your testimony of the Savior, you've got to come to the LDS Business College.
KSL Broadcast Group contests are open to participants 13 years of age and older that are residents of Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Nevada, unless otherwise specified. Employees or agents of the station, Bonneville International Corporation, other area radio stations, or any entity associated with the contest may not enter. Persons who have won in the last 90 days from a station contest or event are not eligible. Prize winners have the option to ship their prizes via Pigeon Ship, the smart and quick delivery service. Full general contest rules are available at KSLNewsRadio.com.
We have one goal for Triple Team Traffic, to keep you moving and on time. Three times more coverage on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by your Utah Toyota dealers. And we're looking at some cars out there. The freeways are fairly busy, but no accidents to report. As people wind down the weekend, clear and cold overnight, down to 25. Tomorrow, sunshine and 53. We're going to warm it up during the course of the work week and then bring in some showers for Friday and Saturday. 42 now at 7:35. You get the top stories every 30 minutes, breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Hello and welcome back to Read Today on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Short stories for the whole family. But first, 40,000 books for schools in Read Today program. Utah readers are getting tons of help. Actually, 10 tons of help in the form of donated books. A Utah company, Worldwide Book Drive, which donates books all over the world, is working to fill a need in its own backyard through KSL's Read Today initiative. You can find out more at readtoday.com. And now from KSL News Radio, talk show host Doug Wright.
A story by Mike Kraft called High and Lifted Up. It was a windy day. The mailman barely made it to the front door. When the door opened, Mrs. Pennington said, "Hello." But before she had a real chance to say thank you, the mail blew out of the mailman's hands, into the house, and the front door slammed in his face. Mrs. Pennington ran to pick up the mail. "Oh, my," she said. Tommy was watching the shutters open, and then shut, open, then shut. "Mom," he said, "may I go outside?" "Be careful," she said. "It's so windy today." Tommy crawled down from the window seat and ran to the door. He opened it with a bang. The wind flew fiercely and snatched the newly recovered mail from Mrs. Pennington's hands and blew it even further into the house. "Oh, my," she said again. Tommy ran outside, and the door slammed shut. Outside, yellow, gold, and red leaves were leaping from swaying trees, landing on the roof, jumping off the roof, and then chasing one another down the street in tiny whirlwinds of merriment. Tommy watched in fascination. "If I was a leaf, I would fly clear across the world," Tommy thought, and then ran out into the yard among the swirl of colors. Mrs. Pennington came to the front porch. "Tommy, I have your jacket. Please put it on." However, there was no Tommy in the front yard. "Tommy!" Tommy was a leaf. He was blowing down the street with the rest of his playmates. A maple leaf came close by, touched him, and moved ahead. Tommy met him shortly, brushed against him, and moved further ahead. They swirled around and around, hit cars and poles, flew up into the air, and then down again. "This is fun," Tommy thought. Maple leaf blew in front of him. It was bright red with well-defined veins. The sunlight shone through it, giving it a brilliance never before seen by a little boy's eyes. "Where do you think you're going?" Tommy asked the leaf. "Does it matter?" the leaf replied. "Have fun. Life is short." "I beg to differ," an older leaf said suddenly, coming beside them. "The journey may be short, but the end is the beginning." Tommy pondered this the best a leaf could ponder. "Where do we end up?" "If the wind blows you in that direction," the old leaf said, "you'll end up in the city dump." "I don't want that," Tommy said. "If you're blown in that direction, you will fly high into the air and see things that no leaf has seen before." "Follow me to the city dump," the maple leaf said. "Most of my friends are there." The wind blew Tommy and the maple leaf along. Tommy thought of his choices. He wanted to continue to play. "Okay," Tommy said. "I'll go with you to the dump." The wind shifted, and Tommy and the leaf were blown in the direction of the city dump. The old leaf didn't follow. He was blown further down the block and suddenly lifted up high into the air. "Hey," he called out. "The sights up here, they are spectacular. Come and see." Tommy and the maple leaf ignored him. "I see something. I see the dump," the old leaf cried out. "I see smoke. Come up here. I see fire." "I see nothing," the maple leaf said. Tommy saw the fence that surrounded the city dump. He was happy to be with his friend. They would have fun in the dump. Suddenly, a car pulled up. It was Tommy's mom. Mrs. Pennington wasn't about to let her little boy run into the city dump. "Not so fast," she said, getting out of the car. "You are not allowed to play in there. Don't you see the smoke?" Tommy watched the maple leaf blow against the wall and struggle to get over. He ran over to get it, but was unable to reach it. Mrs. Pennington walked over and took the leaf. She put it in her pocket. "There," she said. "It will be safe until we get home." Tommy smiled, ran to the car, and got in. He rolled down the back window and looked up into the sky. He wondered where the old leaf had gone. Perhaps one day he would see what the old leaf had seen. Perhaps.
Ricky discovers appreciation. Ricky lived in a lovely, futuristic home which had everything you could ever want. Though he didn't help much around the house, Ricky was still as pleased as punch when his parents bought him the latest model of Butler robot. As soon as it arrived, off it went. Cooking, cleaning, ironing, and most importantly, gathering up old clothes from Ricky's bedroom floor, which Ricky didn't like having to walk on. On that first day when Ricky went to sleep, he had left his bedroom in a truly disastrous state. When he woke up the next morning, everything was perfectly clean and tidy. In fact, it was actually too clean. Now Ricky couldn't find his favorite T-shirt, nor his favorite toy. However much he searched, the two items did not reappear. The same thing was starting to happen with other things. Ricky cast a suspicious eye on the gleaming Butler robot. He hatched a plan to spy on the robot, began following it around the house. Finally, he caught it red-handed, picking up one of Ricky's toys to hide. Off he went, running to his parents to tell them that the Butler was broken and badly programmed. Ricky asked them if he could have it changed, but his parents told him absolutely not. It was impossible. They were delighted with the new Butler, and it cooked like a dream. So Ricky needed to get some kind of proof, maybe take some hidden photos. He kept on at his parents about how much good stuff the robot was hiding. This outweighed however good a cook it was, Ricky argued. One day, the robot was whirring past and heard the boy's complaints. The robot returned with one of the boy's toys and some clothes for him.
"Here, sir. I did not know it was bothering you," said the butler with its metallic voice.
"How could it not, you thief? You've been nicking my stuff for weeks," the boy answered furiously.
"The objects were left on the floor. I therefore calculated that you did not like them. I am programmed to collect all that is not wanted, and at night I send it to places other humans can use it. I am a maximum efficiency machine. Were you unaware?" the robot said with a certain pride. Ricky started feeling ashamed. He had spent all his life treating things as though they were useless. He looked after nothing. Yet it was true that many other people would be delighted to treat those things with all the care in the world. And he understood that the robot was neither broken nor misprogrammed. Rather, it had been programmed extremely well. Since then, Ricky decided to become a maximum efficient boy. He put real care into how he treated the things. He kept them tidy, made sure he didn't have more than was necessary. And often, he would buy things and take them along with his good friend, the robot, to help out those other people who needed them. The end.
Stay tuned. More great stories coming up on Read Today on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You need plenty of warning for the nasty weather we'll get this month. The storms mean cold, snow, and rain. That's Utah.
The severe weather affects your drive and slows down traffic everywhere.
Our traffic team, our weather team, and now Brian Martin. We all work together to make the difficult days a lot brighter.
For severe weather, everything we do is news. Mornings 5 to 9 on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You're driving home from work and your cell phone rings. It's your boss. He wants to discuss the disaster of a meeting you just had. Then a police officer drives up behind you to pull you over. You tell your boss you can't talk now. He's not happy about it. Right before you hang up, out of a romantic habit you have with your wife, you say,
"Love you."
In this moment, you are completely powerless, a feeling you're not used to thanks to the power mortgage from Security Service Federal Credit Union. You bought a home and paid zero closing costs, no origination fee, and got a really low rate. So much power. But it can't help you with your boss. We're sorry. Feel the specific power of the last mortgage America will ever need. Only at Security Service Federal Credit Union. SSFCU is an equal housing lender. Membership eligibility required. Loan subject to credit approval. Closing costs covered up to $5,000. Certain costs are not covered. Visit mortgage department or SSFCU.org for conditions and restrictions. Valid in Texas, Colorado, and Utah.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. But I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a
taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 68 children is diagnosed with autism. That's about a 30% increase in 2 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
In life, we all do fall down, and we all need help at some point, and we're going to want that help. We're going to want someone to be there for us when we fall. So it's important that we take our opportunities when we can to help others who need that help right now.
When I see someone going through a hard time, I
want to help them out as much as I can.
Imagine the world that we would live in if everybody went out of their way to make life better for one another.
You should really get involved in volunteering so that you can improve the world and also your own self.
Especially if you're a kid.
We can be the leaders of tomorrow.
Follow what you love, follow what you feel is important, and go for it.
You don't want to volunteer just because everybody else is saying, go volunteer.
Not count your hours, but make it count. And it's just taking that first step forward.
Even the smallest of deeds can have the biggest impact.
It may seem small to you, but they could be like giant to someone who really needs it.
The world really needs volunteers to act now.
To learn more about the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards for young volunteers, visit spirit.prudential.com.
Every day, we go about our lives driven by routine, our vision clouded by the very normalcy we take for granted. Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible. It's time to open our eyes. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who combat human trafficking, whether it's forced labor, domestic servitude, or the sex trade. Learn what you can do to help by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
Welcome back to Read Today on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. A big congratulations going out to the top five schools combining for over 8 million minutes read. Northlake Elementary in the Tooele School District, Settlement Canyon Elementary in Tooele, Reagan Academy Charter School, North Star Elementary in the Salt Lake School District, and in the Davis School District, Ellison Park Elementary. Congratulations, over 8 million minutes read. You can win prizes by logging the minutes you read on Read Today at KSL.com. Why don't we get into our next story? From our sister station, FM 100.3, here's Brian Fox.
On September 3rd of 1609, Henry Hudson sailed the Half Moon into the mouth of the great New York River that later bore his name. The explorer and his crew journeyed north for several days, trading with the native residents and searching for the fabled Northwest Passage to the Orient. By the time he reached the area that would become present-day Albany, Hudson knew that he had not found the passage for which he sought. Reluctantly, he turned the Half Moon and sailed back down the river. That night, Henry Hudson and his crew anchored the Half Moon in the shadow of the Catskill Mountains. Around midnight, Hudson heard the sound of music floating across the mountains and down to the river. Taking a few members of his crew, he went ashore and followed the sound up and up into the Catskills. The sound of the music grew louder as Hudson and his men marched up to the edge of a precipice. To their astonishment, a group of pygmies with long bushy beards and eyes like pigs were dancing and singing and capering about in the firelight. Hudson realized that these creatures were the metal-working gnomes of whom the natives had spoken. One of the bushy-bearded chaps spotted the explorer and his men and welcomed them with a cheer. The short men surrounded the crew and drew them into the firelight and the dance. Hudson and his men were delighted with these strange small creatures and with the hard liquor that the gnomes had brewed. Long into the night, the men drank and played ninepins with the gnomes while Henry Hudson sipped at a single glass of spirits and spoke with the chief of the gnomes about many deep and mysterious things. Realizing at last how late it was, Hudson looked around for his men. At first, he couldn't locate them. All he saw were large groups of gnomes laughing and joking as they sprawled around the fire. Then, to his astonishment, he recognized several of the gnomes as his crewmen. They had undergone a transformation. Their heads had swollen to twice their normal size, their eyes were small and pig-like, and their bodies had shortened until they were only a little taller than the gnomes themselves. Hudson was alarmed and asked the chief of the gnomes for an explanation. It was, the chief explained to Hudson, the effect of the magical hard liquor the gnomes brewed. It would wear off when the liquor did. Hudson wasn't sure that he believed the little man. Afraid of what else might happen to him and his crewmen if they continued to linger in such company, Hudson hurriedly took his leave of the gnomes and hustled his severely drunken crewmen back to the Half Moon. The entire crew slept late into the morning, as if they were under the influence of a sleeping draught. When they awakened, the crewmen who had accompanied Hudson up into the Catskill Mountains, aside from a ferocious headache, were back to normal. Hudson continued on his way down the Great River, and by October 4th, the Half Moon had reached the mouth, and Hudson and his crew sailed for home. In 1610, Hudson set off on another journey, searching for a northwestern passage to the Orient.
Trapped in the ice through a long winter, Hudson's crew eventually mutinied and set Henry Hudson and eight of his crewmen adrift in the Hudson Bay. They were never seen again. In September 1629, 20 years to the day that Hudson and his crew met the Catskill Gnomes, a bright fire appeared on the precipice above the hollow, and dance music could be heard floating through the mountains. The Catskill Gnomes spent the evening dancing and carousing and drinking their magic liquor. At midnight, they were joined by the spirits of Henry Hudson and crew. Merry was their meeting, and the gnomes and the spirits played ninepins all night long. Each time they rolled a ball, a peal of thunder would shake the mountains, and the fire would flare up in bolts like lightning. The party lasted until daybreak, at which hour the spirits departed from the hills with promises to return. Every 20 years, the spirits of Henry Hudson and his crew returned to the Catskill Mountains to play ninepins with the gnomes and to look out over the country they had first explored together on the Half Moon. Now and then, one of the Dutch settlers living in the region came across the spirits as they played ninepins. They claimed that any man foolish enough to drink of the spirits' magic liquor would sleep from the moment the spirits departed the mountain to the day they returned 20 years later. Most folks discounted the story, although several members of Rip Van Winkle's family swore it was true. True or false, wise folks who walk among the Catskills in September do not accept a drink of liquor when it's offered to them, just in case.
From the KSL Traffic Center, KSL News Radio, here's Ricky Meese.
Why Dogs Chase Cats, a Virginia folktale, retold by S.E. Schlosser. Once, long ago, Dog was married to Cat. They were happy together, but every night when Dog came home from work, Cat said she was too sick to make him dinner. Dog was patient with this for a while, but he soon got mighty tired of fixing dinner for them both after a hard day's work. After all, Cat just stayed home all day long. One day, Dog told Cat he was going to work, but instead, he hid in the cupboard and watched Cat to see if she really was sick. As soon as Cat thought Dog had left, she started playing games with Kitten, then laughed and ran about. Cat wasn't the least bit sick. Dog jumped out of the cupboard. When Cat saw him, she stuck a marble in her cheek and told Dog she had a toothache. Dog got so mad at her, he started chasing her around and around the house. Dogs have been chasing cats ever since.
Let's get into our next story, our final story for the evening. We hope you enjoy this. From KSL News Radio Afternoon co-host, Scott Seeger.
Davy Crockett and the Frozen Dawn. One winter, it was so cold that the dawn froze solid. Sun got caught between two ice blocks, and the earth iced up so much it couldn't turn. Now, the first rays of sunlight froze halfway over the mountaintops. They looked like yellow icicles dripping towards the ground. Now, Davy Crockett was headed home after a successful night hunting when the dawn froze up so solid. Being a smart man, he knew he had to do something quick or the earth was a goner. He had a freshly killed bear on his back, so he whipped it off, climbed right up those rays of sunlight, and began beating the hot bear carcass against the ice blocks, which were squashing the sun. Well, soon a gush of hot oil burst out of the bear and it melted the ice. Davy gave the sun a good hard kick to get it started, and the sun's heat unfroze the earth and it started spinning again. So Davy lit his pipe on the sun, shouldered the bear, slid himself down the sun rays before they melted, took a bit of sunrise home in his pocket.
You've been listening to Read Today on KSL News Radio. Don't forget, read every day and log your minutes on KSL.com. Until next week, this is Read Today on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
This is Barry Sanders. As a pro football player, I know that our bodies aren't built for bone-crushing impact. Brain injuries can be dangerous, resulting in consequences that can last long after the game. One example is uncontrollable outbursts of crying or laughing, possible signs of a neurologic condition called pseudobulbar effect, or PBA. PBA can result from a variety of neurologic conditions or brain injuries. So visit TacklePBA.org and talk to your doctor. Let's tackle this treatable condition together.
Brought to you by TacklePBA.org, the Brain Injury Association of America, and the Gridiron Greats.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps. Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the ring cycle.
Separate, keep raw meat away from ready-to-eat foods.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Who do I perform for? I perform for all the awesome composers whose music deserves to be heard.
I perform for all the stagehands who make sure I never miss a cue.
I perform for our high school choir director who taught me to breathe from the diaphragm and sing from the heart.
Speech, debate, theater, music. The performing arts teach valuable life lessons that typically aren't taught in the classroom. They help high school students learn leadership skills that prepare them to enjoy more satisfying, productive lives.
I perform for Mrs. Evans, my high school debate coach, who has helped me become more confident than I ever dreamed possible.
This message presented by the Utah High School Activities Association and the high school in your community.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Who will you perform for? Who do I play for? I play high school basketball for every bar.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You can kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Utah's fastest source for breaking news. Streaming live on your phone with iHeartRadio. Tune in and the app for KSL.
KSL FM Midvale. KSL Salt Lake City. KSL.